from the Career Opportunities Archives. Live from Laid Off Camp LA, this time on Career Opportunities. Helping to build the career you deserve. This is Career Opportunities for May 1st, 2009. A member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com. Today's show, a live talk from Laid Off Camp LA, recorded May 1st, 2009. Visibility and your career.
We have spent the last several years getting onto networks, getting onto Facebook, getting onto Twitter, getting onto all these different worlds. We started podcasting and sharing our videos on YouTube and everything else. And we kind of used the generic term networking, right? Well, the fact is there's something below network. There's a reason why we network with all these wonderful tools that we've got. And this is something I came across back in 2007. I actually made 2007 the year of visibility, I called it. And it actually came out of a BarCamp San Diego talk from that year. What I realized is visibility is all about telling people what you do and how well you do it. For me, everything in your career, every job you have, every business you run, every company you start, has to be visible to those around you. I joke with my television writing wife all the time. Scripts don't sell themselves in a drawer. Record albums don't sell themselves in the recorder. If you can be the best programmer, the best musician, the best ad executive, the best architect, where's Jerome? The best architect, the best whatever, but if people don't know what you do, what good does it do? And so the whole goal is to make yourself visible. Little background on me very quickly. I write a weekly career column called Career Opportunities. It was in print in San Diego for 12, I think I'm in my 13th year of writing the print column. I've also been podcasting that same column for the last, well, I'll be celebrating my 5th anniversary in September. Okay? I have spent 25 years working in technology, various types of technology. So, to go back to the phrase that I just want to hammer you over the head with today, visibility is about what you do and how well you do it. The second part being really, really important. The reason you want to be visible is you want to give people as many opportunities as possible to stumble across your work. People come to me on the new media side and say, oh, I put my video up on YouTube. And my first question to them is, and where else? Because there are literally probably hundreds of different video sites out there, all of with their own little audiences that you need to reach. So therefore, you should be putting your stuff on, theoretically, all the video sites. You're giving people a chance to stumble upon you. Now, another reason for being visible is you start to create opportunities that come to you. We spend so much of our time as workers reaching out, looking for jobs, looking for companies, looking for business opportunities, looking for this. Imagine a world where opportunities are coming to you. Something as simple as what Chris mentioned about the laid-off camp in San Francisco. I said, you know, gosh, I hate organizing live events like this because finding a venue is so hard. Well, you know what? He put the word out about doing this. A venue came to him. He made himself visible. He made his idea visible, and someone came to him. That's the type of environment you want to be living in. That's the type of environment you want to be building your career in. You also want to be choosing between opportunities. So many times, the people I talk to about careers are simply taking the first job that's presented to them. That's not the way you want to be. You don't want just the next job. You want the next best job for you. You need to tell more people than just your friends. Too often, we get very insular, even in our social media and our new media usage. We connect up with our close circle of friends, and that's kind of all that we talk to. We have our tight little net group. I'm telling you, you need to expand beyond that. You need to speak to friends of friends and friends of friends and friends, and in my case, total strangers. Because I'm out there, because I'm doing the podcast, because I put my videos up, I'm recording this right now, which I highly recommend all you do too.
This has been Career Opportunities with Douglas E. Welch. You can find links to Career Opportunities, all my social media accounts, and everything else that I do at douglasewelch.com. I'd love to hear what's happening in your career and any questions you might have. Contact me at career@welchright.com, post to our social media pages, add a comment on the website, or call our reader listener line at 818-804-5049. If you enjoy career opportunities, please subscribe to the blog and podcast, join our mailing list, and share links with your friends, family, and professional contacts. Each one of these helps to spread the word about career opportunities to others. Thanks for listening, and please join me for the next episode of Career Opportunities.
Know who in this room on Wilshire Boulevard in the city of LA, in the city of New York, is going to be responsible for your next job, your next business opportunity, your next leap forward in your career. You simply don't know who it is. I don't know, I maybe know three people here on site. The fact is, something amazing could happen today because I've come here, I've taken the time to meet people. You don't know. This is why capturing what you do, putting it out there to everybody is so important. Because it's going to be, there's a great story. How many people know about the Groundlings Improv Theater Troupe? Okay, a lot of people, right? If you live in LA for any length of time, you've probably heard about the Groundlings, right? Well, it seems that some new executive at Sony had never heard of the Groundlings, despite having basically lived here all his life. So he's perusing YouTube and going, oh, wow, that's really funny. I wonder who these guys are. The Groundlings have been around for 30, maybe 30 years or more. They were then contracted by Sony to produce a whole series of comedy shorts for Sony because someone found them on YouTube. Okay, that is almost, to me, a ludicrous example, but it shows the true power of getting your word out. Even if you're a well-known entity, there are some people who simply haven't yet stumbled across you. And you can take that and use that to your advantage. The next question comes up, what do I tell them? Well, I just was interviewed by a newspaper reporter the other day about separating your private and your personal life and how do you, and frankly, you don't. We are each who we are. We are one person. We cannot bifurcate ourselves into this professional person and this personal person. I have tried it over 10 plus years of being on social networks and everything, going back to the days of CompuServe and Prodigy and all. Yes, I know I'm showing my age. I'm sorry. It's almost impossible to do that. And frankly, I don't think that's what you should be doing. You are a unique individual, and you are made up of all the different parts of you. If you suddenly decide to excise part of yourself out of your online life, out of your new media life, out of your social media life, I think it is actually more damaging. Now, granted, you're not going to want to put up the pictures of you involved in drunken debauchery. Everybody knows that. We shouldn't have to say that, right? If you're young kids, you may have to learn that yet, but the fact is we sort of know what should be said publicly and what should be not. But the fact is, if you subscribe to my Twitter feed, if you follow me on Twitter, within the first day, you're going to figure out, I am a total coffee geek. I love coffee. I've learned everything I can about coffee. I like wine in some cases. I like to be outdoors and actually go hiking sometimes. You're going to find out a whole lot about me that you might not have known had we just met here at Laid Off Camp. Okay? You're going to get a much more intimate view of what my life is made up of. And that's exactly what you're doing using all these tools. Is you are telling people, again, what you do, how well you do it, and then add on the whole aspect of, and here's a little bit about my personal life as well. By the way, if anyone has any questions, please just throw anything up there or comments. What do you tell people? Every time I talk to someone about new media or podcasting, someone's like, well, I don't have anything to say. It's like, that's such BS, guys. We all have something that can be transferred to other people. We all have information that somebody else wants. My joke is that an expert is literally someone who has one more fact or one more experience than someone else. Because if you do, there, I can guarantee you there's someone out there that wants to hear about that. Does that make sense? Okay. I find that all the time. I know a lot. I know a little about a lot. I have certain specialties that I do that I know quite a bit about, but I pride myself in being a generalist. I then share that, and it never fails. Something I think is a very simple, straightforward fact about the fact that, let me see, the most important endangered species in the state of California. Anybody? The one most in risk? And next to the condor, Channel Island fox. How many people have ever heard of the Channel Island fox? Okay? Good. I helped develop the website for the Friends of the Island Fox. That's good to hear. I know about the Channel Island Fox because I have friends who are board members of Friends of the Island Fox. I will often be out hiking, out walking around, talking with kids at some totally unrelated event, and it will wind its way around to this thing about the Channel Island Fox, and they're like, wow, I never heard about that. I never knew about them. I never understood they were endangered. I didn't understand why they were endangered. They were endangered because we killed all the bald eagles, and golden eagles actually like the little tasty foxes and other. You never know what piece of information you're going to have that someone else is going to find really, really interesting, or more importantly, really, really useful. Okay? Maybe you came up with a new algorithm. Maybe you have a photo that just is amazing. Maybe you have a website or a group you've founded or something that helps other people. You need to tell people about that. I talked about the fact that I record everything I do. The fact is, a lot of people come to me and say, oh, the social media, it's all this extra work and all this new media. I gotta think up stuff to say on my blog, and I have to think of stuff to present and think. And the fact is, no, you don't. Each and every one of us creates content every single day, except what most of us do is throw it away. We don't capture what we do. We don't take that idea we had driving in the car down here today and go, that is an excellent blog post. That is something I need to write for myself, let alone other people. That's the goal. If you are capturing what you already create, it is not extra work to be involved in Twitter and Facebook and everything else. The final thing, the most important thing that you can communicate to people is your basic philosophy about life. Okay? We all have a way that we live our lives. We all have what we think are interesting ideas that other people could also use in their lives. Share them. This world is all about sharing. We've come from a world of scarcity where every job that you got is a job that I didn't get. Every play that you sold is a play I didn't sell. That's being blown totally out of the water because for one important reason. We now, for the first time ever in media, have the ability to not only create something, we can distribute that to the world, not only easily, but darn near for free. We've never had that before. We've always had to go through gatekeepers. We've always had to go through the publishing industry and the music industry. Someone else was going to talk about the music industry later. Yeah, the music industry, the film industry. You don't have to do that anymore. Where in the past, maybe your friends read your poetry, maybe some of your family, you know, maybe you self-published a book and it got out, you sold 100 copies. Now, there's an audience of thousands, tens of thousands, millions of people out there that you can easily distribute your work to. Why wouldn't you use that tool? This is something I come back to all the time whenever I'm talking is, why wouldn't you? If you could have your own television station, why wouldn't you? If you have your own radio station, why wouldn't you? You have your own music publishing company. Why wouldn't you? And that's what you should be saying to yourself all the time. Why wouldn't you be doing this stuff? Because the fact is, it is relatively easy and it is almost free. I don't say free because you know you have the cost of web hosting and this and that. But there are ways you can actually do it beyond your internet connection. And frankly, if you're sitting at the local coffee bar using their internet connection, it is free because you're not even paying for that. So I don't want to hear any excuses from any of you for not using these tools to better your career. An interesting article column I wrote a few months ago is, your blog is not your resume. Does everyone agree, disagree, your blog is your resume? Ah, non-committal? Do you agree that your blog is your resume now? No, okay. I personally believe that totally. I hate resumes, I hate paper resumes, I think they're the most worthless thing on the planet. That said, certain companies still require them. I think, luckily, we're seeing less and less of that. And there are ways of making your resume better, which I'll leave to the resume experts and other people who speak in that. I am on LinkedIn, yes. That is your resume. LinkedIn is even more of a resume than anything else because it follows, it's a hybrid. It follows that kind of strict resume fashion, but it has some other stuff too. That is actually the reason I joined LinkedIn was because it sort of was that crossover. It was a nice hybrid between the two. The great thing about your blog is if you're collecting your content as you go along, guess what? It's already in your blog. It's not having to revisit your resume every month and go, oh God, I gotta change that. Or, as you should be doing anyway when you're applying at jobs, fashioning your resume for every single job that you're sending out for, your blog grows naturally. You're putting the stuff out there. Just by putting it out there on your blog, putting out your videos, putting out your audio, putting out your music, you're creating your resume as you go along. I call this a concept of a career portfolio. Artists have had portfolio for years. Artists, in college, if you're going to be an artist and you go to college for art, you start your portfolio the day you start college. Well, you all need to be starting your own career portfolios too. And the best way of doing that is through the electronic means, by collecting stuff in blogs, by collecting stuff in a portfolio site, by collecting letters of recommendation from people you talk to, again, tying in the whole LinkedIn recommendation thing. How easy is it to get a recommendation now? Not having to harangue somebody, can you please write up, and then, and of course, what do they say to you? Well, you write it up and I'll just sign it. I hate doing that. Because the fact is, I will never say about me the good stuff you will say about me. You will always say better stuff about me than I will say about myself, because we've all grown up here in America with the, well, don't honk your own horn and don't seem too, you know, too arrogant or anything like that. So LinkedIn provides a great method of doing that. People can go online and go, or cut and paste, or whatever, and it's done, it's public, it's there for everybody to see, and you can simply refer people to that. We've talked about all the tools already out there. How many people are on Twitter? How many people are on LinkedIn? That's good. How many people are on Facebook? How many people have a blog? Those are probably my, when I start people out, I say, get a blog, because then the blog becomes a place for your stuff, as George Carlin used to say. You have to have a place for your stuff. If you have a blog, you suddenly have a home now for any videos, any audio, any photos, any text you want to write has a home where to live. Okay? Get on Facebook. Facebook simply has the juice right now. Frankly, I never really liked MySpace. I thought it allowed you to make incredibly ugly pages. So I think Facebook has the juice right now. That could change immediately. And one of the game changers right now was Twitter. When I first started on Twitter, I was like, I don't know how I'm going to use this. I'm not sure how this is going to work. And that happens. You have tools all the time where you look at it. How many people use Evernote or have heard of Evernote? Well, check it out if you haven't. It's a great information collecting tool. And it's one of those tools that I constantly go to and say, I should be making more use of this. But I cannot figure out how to work it into my workflow. Twitter approached me in the same way, except with Twitter, Twitter has now become basically almost between my blogs and Twitter, it is my hub. Almost everything you see on my Facebook, everything you see in LinkedIn, everything you see elsewhere gets funneled through Twitter. I just took 5 or 6 pictures while we were doing opening session here. we need that Olympic hymn or something. I took several pictures on my iPhone using a site called Shozu.com, Shozu.com. It's an app for the iPhone. I took the picture. When I was done taking the picture, it uploaded it to Flickr, Facebook, Twittered it out via TwitPic, posted it on my blog, and Lord knows where else it ended up. But at least five different sites. How much easier can it be to share what you're doing? Okay? There's an excellent example of using the tool once. I call that, how many people have ever played pinball in a pinball machine? Okay? You had the bonus, right? 2 times, 3 times, 4 times. New media and social media are what I call they have what's called the new media multiplier. When you use new media, you have suddenly taken something that maybe had one effect, and you've added 2, 3, 4. You've brought that bonus up to 4 times, 5 times, 6 times through one action on your part. Why wouldn't you do that? Why wouldn't you take the advantage of these tools to say, hey, I can really spread this message. I can let people stumble across me in a variety of ways. What time, Chris, what time are we hitting at? I'm sorry, I didn't have my pocket watch out. Ready? Yeah, I think we're ready to go. You can find me. First of all, as you can tell, I love talking about this stuff. I love talking about it the same reason I like writing about careers and doing my podcast about careers. I don't get a lot of feedback from people, and there's a reason we can talk about later why I think that is, but when I get feedback from people, it is the most amazing feedback. It is the sit down in the chair and lean back type of feedback of, wow, I have to watch what I say, because there are really people out there listening. And I have changed people's lives in very, very fundamental ways through the work that I do. And the fact is, all of you can do that too. And I want you to walk, if nothing else, today, I want you to walk out with that message. You can have an effect not only in your own life, but on lives of people nearby you and across the world. Questions? Yes? First of all, is the connection between Twitter and other sites seamless? Twitter to Facebook, seamless. It's the Twitter app. Yes, it's the same message. It's this. Right, when this pic went out, it said, pic, laid off Camp LA. That got posted as a picture on my blog. It got Twittered out, pic. Only from the standpoint that LinkedIn is more business focused. I have to put a company, I have to attach an activity to a company. But you will see on my LinkedIn page, and kind of had to juggle with this a little bit when I first did it, I am the creator and writer of my podcast. That is a business listed in my LinkedIn profile that I work for. That's how I decided, you know what? I've been doing this for almost 5 years. It's a business for me. This is what I do. And so I said, you know what? I am going to put that in my LinkedIn profile. It's not Bank of America, but for me, it is just as important. And I think your startups, your side businesses are also just as important. As far as Twitter falling off, there is an aspect of technology punditches, the pundits out there, that they love to say, I hate this service, I don't use this service, and you shouldn't either. And frankly, I hate that. When I read that from some tech pundit, I immediately turn the page or click to the next post. Because
it's a huge drop-off. It's much higher than Facebook.
But the truth is, it's going to evolve because Twitter's already, there's Tumblr, which is now like a combination of a blog, a lot of those, it's all evolving.
And it doesn't, and even more so, it doesn't matter. Twitter can disappear tomorrow. If it's outlived its usefulness, it will disappear. If it doesn't, it will continue on. To you and I, it doesn't really matter because we will move on to the next tool that is useful to us that accomplishes what we want to accomplish. So don't let that worry you. Personally, right now, and this could change tomorrow. In fact, I actually investigated FriendFeed pretty heavily, and I do use FriendFeed because I think it actually has some better stuff going on than Twitter. Fact is, it didn't make it. It hasn't yet taken Twitter away. Although perhaps from the technology standpoint, it would be a better choice. So don't let that bother you. Use the technology that means something to you, like Evernote. You know, it's a great tool, but I can't make it work. There may be tools like that that don't work for you. Don't let it bother you. Remember, this is all under your control. Everything still has an off switch on it. You are the one who decide which technology to use or not. Don't let anyone say, you have to be here or you're a loser. Because I think that is just as bad as saying, I don't use it and you shouldn't either. Everyone has their own unique uses for these things. And if it's effective to you, my joke, people always ask me, how useful is Twitter to you? I've booked billable hours off of Twitter. Thank you very much. I need no other backup for it. Okay? I answered a computer question. Someone said, hey, I can't do that myself. Can you come over and fix it? I said, yes, I'd love to do that. It's $100 an hour. I'll be there Wednesday at 10 o'clock. That may not happen tomorrow, but the fact is, bing, for me, its usefulness was proven right off the bat. I have a question over here, and then I'll get to you.
It's fun watching you talk about this stuff because of the amount of passion you have about it. And I was at Alibi Bar in the United States, Tweetup. If you haven't heard about Tweetup, it's sort of a spontaneous gathering of people on Twitter. Sometimes you get promoted, sometimes it doesn't. And I ended up talking to a guy at the bar about Twitter, and he never really heard about it. Have the same passion that you have about it. The challenge that I often come across in talking about social media with everyone is there's so many tools, there's so many technologies, you get all caught up in, well, how the hell do I do all these? How do I get started on them? And there's a book that I just started reading that if you haven't read yet, I swear to you, read it by Jeff Jarvis, What Will Google Do? Unbelievable book. And the reason I mention it is that what it does is shift your whole perspective about marketing, about being in the world as an individual or as a business person, and thinking through a different lens. And I think that the key to starting to get excited about this stuff, whether it's just Twitter or just whatever, FriendFeed, Facebook, is seeing things through new rules. Like everything that is going on before is old rules. If you're a marketing person and you're looking up at the internet, look at it through the lens of how do I get my message out. If you're an advertising person, you think about how do I get my ad out. If you're a sales or retail website, how do I sell? So here's one quote from Jeff Jarvis that I tweeted the other day that I got a lot of retweets about, meaning people got this quote and they sent it out. So my presence on Twitter now just got exponentially bigger, more exposure to this quote, which was, Advertising is your last priority, your last resort, an unfortunate byproduct of not having enough friends. By friends is not, you know, someone you're going out to dinner with necessarily, but it means people you're connected to.
Loose contacts, they call them.
Relationships, yeah. And connections. And essentially, that's what this is all about online, is building your network of relationships and connections and having more presence and having more influence. And getting that lens adjusted to you as a business or you as an individual shifts everything. It's really quite remarkable. So this book, tools are incredible, they're powerful, and you're passionate about it, but it's a real shift in mindset. What does my resume mean? Who am I online? What does it mean to build connections? What does it mean to be of use to people? Like, I'm helping some random person with their presentation about their brand, and I don't know why I'm helping them, because they put it out there and they ask for feedback. Next thing I'm just helping them. And he's now recommending me, everyone should follow me on Twitter. Anyway, it's just a different mindset.
And what I do too, is I have these things called new media prescriptions, because you start talking to someone and you can just see that glaze. Huh? That's why I say, get a blog. First and foremost, get a blog. Once they get the blog, say, now let's talk about Facebook. Okay, let's switch some Twitter in here, and then let's, and we slowly add the things on, because yes, people will glaze over. I see it all the time. Because frankly, as he said, I'm passionate about this. I want people to get the benefit of these tools. And sometimes you can come on a little hard sometimes. Yes, sir. Let it go. Let it go. You know, there's nothing, again, I always come back to, I think it's Fahrenheit 451, where the television's no longer had, the music's no longer had off buttons. It just kind of sat there the whole time and screamed at you. You still have the power. If it's not working for you, if you feel burnout, that means you're not getting, or at least not perceiving, the benefit that this blog is bringing to you. So let it go. Let it go. Find something else that brings value to you, or that allows you to bring value to other people. I could be like Obama and say, no, I'm sorry, no follow-up. Oh,
maybe,
you know, my answer is going to be
blogging? Like specifically talk about blogging.
Yeah, honestly, my answer there is yes. It's what, again, bring it back to a much deeper thing. What's useful to you? What's useful to people around you? Frankly, one of the things we're infected with, especially here in LA, is that star mentality. You're either Madonna or you're nobody. And the fact is, all of us know musicians who are somewhere in between. And I was talking to a bunch of musicians lately, the other day, at a panel discussion. I said, you may not be P. Diddy. That's not important. What you want to search for, what you want to reach for, is making a decent living doing something you love. If you get to be a star, rock on. More power to you. But the fact is, you can make a decent living in a niche environment doing something you love. When the guys came back from World War II, they didn't want to be P. Diddy. They wanted a house in a nice neighborhood with their family and maybe a nice car. Okay? We have inflated this whole idea of the American dream, inflated. We've blown it up to all heights of absurdity of what we consider success in America today. Don't do that. Don't let other people tell you that. And don't let it drive, don't let that star, kind of star complex drive your activities. The fact is, there are people out there, yes, they're not going to be 4.5 million people reading your blog. Maybe they will be, but they probably won't be. But the fact is, if you have, someone said, I forget who wrote it, if you have 1,000 rabid fans, you can make a decent living doing something. Anyway, I've taken up my half hour. I'm going to be here all day. Please grab me in the hall, grab me in the corner, whatever, if you'd like to talk about things further. Thank you so much for listening to me. I hope I've got you fired up, okay? And I want you to go out and really use these tools, because I really do think they have an advantage for you and the people around you. Thank you.
This has been Career Opportunities with Douglas E. Welch. Welchwrite.com/career. WelchWrite.com/career. I'd love to hear what's happening in your career. Send questions and comments to career@welchwrite.com or post them as comments on the website. You can also call our listener line at 818-804-5049. If you're listening directly from the website, why not subscribe? It's free and you'll receive each new show automatically. If you enjoy Career Opportunities, there are many ways to show your support, and all are appreciated. These include a tip on our online tip jar, a review in the iTunes podcast directory, and others. You'll find a link for these and more on the website. This show is a production of WelchWrite.com, WelchWrite.com.